The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me." So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country. And there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he had came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against you, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he sent off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf, because he got him back safe and sound.' Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, 'Listen, for all these years I've been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him.' Then the father said to him, 'Son, you're always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found.'" Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord. May be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. With all the chaos in the world, there is a sense at times that we just have to look out for ourselves, maybe even our own family. You've heard me say how this has been an acute reality in recent years, particularly in a society that can make an idol of individualism. Those that are vulnerable or oppressed must do what they can to serve themselves. And those who are privileged do what they can to serve themselves. And in congregational life in our society, the ministry of self can be very apparent at times when the concern is more for the survival of the institution as opposed to embodying the ministry Christ has called us to carry out. Decisions and actions do not become a ministry, a service to others, but a service to ourselves. So in this notorious parable of the prodigal son, we have this younger son clearly looking out for himself, wanting to serve himself and himself alone. And through our own understanding of justice, at one point in the parable, I think most of us can sit and say, this son gets what he deserves, right? He disrespects his father. He cuts off a relationship with the family. He thinks he can thrive on his own, only needing to worry about his own needs and wants. Yet then I believe many of us can still relate to the elder son in the parable when he gets angry at the father for not only welcoming him back, but welcoming him back so with an extravagant and lavish celebration, feeling that he's done the right things. He's been a slave to his father. He's always been obedient. And he was wasteful with this inheritance. How could you? How is that fair? Now, I had a colleague point out this week that the introductory verses to our gospel lesson is there for a reason. And there is a gap, you'll notice, in our gospel lesson for today. There's a couple parables preceding this. But when we hear those first few verses, now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, this fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them. The Pharisees and the scribes are grumbling much in the same way that the elder son is grumbling by the end of this parable. Jesus is welcoming and is eating with people that those Pharisees and scribes would say, why are you inviting them to the party? And they have a problem with including them into this party. And so what we perceive as our righteousness of who can be in and who can be out, that's more important than the will and ways and love of God. What the Pharisees and the scribes fail to see is that how we're all in the same boat. We're all sinners, and we all need God's reckless and lavish and abundant love in order to be reconciled to God in the end. When we rely on our own ways like the younger son, when we think we are righteous because of our own ways, such as the elder son, that's when we get in trouble. That's when we separate ourselves from God. Both sons are at fault here. Part of the separation in separating ourselves from one another, like we see the Pharisees and scribes and the elder son doing, I think that's a reason why we might not feel as close to the divine. There's a reason why love your God with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself, while those commandments are intertwined. Because love of God and love of neighbor are one and the same. When we love our neighbor, we are encountering our Lord. The ministry of self, the disregard for neighbor, that might be why Paul is saying in 2 Corinthians that we no longer see from a human point of view when we are in Christ. That being in Christ and being part of a new creation, there's a new way of seeing. The old way of being and the old way of seeing has passed away when we are in Christ. It is gone. There is a new creation. We heard in our second lesson, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. Reconciling the world to himself. So for starters, that is going to bring people who the world sees as unrighteous and the righteous together. Right? Notice at the end of the parable, the brother wants to separate himself, the elder brother wants to separate himself from his younger brother. He says to the father, this son of yours. And then what does the father remind him at the end?
this brother of yours. And the Pharisees and the scribes are trying to separate themselves from tax collectors and sinners. We're all in the same boat. And if we're being honest, being in the same boat, that we are reconciled to God through Christ Jesus, through Christ's righteousness, that we are brought into full communion through Christ, full communion with the God who is love through Christ, not through anything we do. But yes, in our sinfulness and brokenness, we can become bitter like the elder son. And we want to say who's included and who's not included. But what we heard in 2 Corinthians, not God does not count their trespasses against them. Because it's not justice in how the world envisions it. God's view of justice is one in which God makes right what once went wrong. God is trying to make the world right again through the new creation that we have in Christ. For instance, we notice in the parable that the younger son has his speech rehearsed. We don't even really know if he's truly sorry. But the father doesn't care. When he sees that son far off, he rushes towards him. He doesn't even wait for the son to come crawling back. The father is overjoyed when his son is simply turning in his direction and moving forward. Our Heavenly Father is overjoyed when we just simply turn around, just turn towards Him. That's repentance, just to turn towards God. And God comes rushing back to us to claim us, to redeem us, to remind us of His steadfast love. It's consistent with the God that we encounter throughout the Scriptures, a God who comes to meet us, a God who comes to find us. Not counting their trespasses against them. Notice that the father in the parable is not looking for a list of trespasses to remind the younger son of. The father doesn't even let his son finish his confession. What does that tell us about God? Our reconciliation is about what God is doing. It's not contingent upon what we are doing. That we have to get it right in order to be reconciled to God. Our God desires to forgive, our God desires to love, and our God desires to welcome us back home each and every time we turn towards Him. In Christ, we no longer focus on what needs to be done in order to be loved and how to be righteous by the world standards. In Christ, our point of view now, our new point of view, is centered on what needs to be trusted. What needs to be trusted? Our trust is in the love and faithfulness of God. Now, if I could humbly brag for a little bit, and I talked with my eldest daughter, if I could share all this. She was named student of the month, one of the students of the month, for the month of March at her school. We're all very proud of her, and we went out to celebrate on Friday night. Before we left, I was talking to her, so she raised this question. She said, "You know, why do a couple of my other siblings get to join in on this celebration? Because it's very clear that they haven't been as good." And it has been very clear that they hadn't been as good. So she saw a sense of, this doesn't seem right, this doesn't seem fair. It's a fair question. And that conclusion at such a young age is in part due to our parenting and socialization outside our home, in what fairness and justice looks like in this world. And it was an opportunity to speak of grace, and that how grace isn't, as you heard me say before, grace is getting what we don't deserve at times, and how God wants us all to be part of the party. And in this instance, wants the whole family to celebrate. And then she reminded me of times, she's like, "Well, but there are times when we're all bad, and you and mommy got to do something, and we were left out of that." And then I told her to get in the car. Right? It's like, just get in the car. But it's a reminder how even as parents, we fall short of showing God's abundant love, grace, and mercy. But as heaven and earth people, that's a real tension in the world that we live in. But that old way, that old view is passing away, as Paul says. And God's kingdom is breaking in. And that has drawn near. And God's kingdom operates and functions in a different way from this world. And so we show people. We are signposts of the world that is and is to come. Because in 2 Corinthians, we also get this sense that we are given a ministry of reconciliation. We are ambassadors for Christ. We represent Christ and the way of Christ in this world. Our ministry isn't to save anyone. We don't do the saving. We're not messiahs. Our ministry is to be that of reconciliation, to share the good news and represent Christ, to call people simply to trust what God is doing, that God will take care of the rest. As the elder son complains to the father is essentially telling the elder son, do not focus on those trespasses of your brother, but focus on the reconciliation that has taken place in this family. That is what we're called to focus on, the reconciliation that has taken place. And contrary to popular practice and characterizations of Christians in our society, we are not to be consumed by what other people are doing. I think that's what we're hearing in our second lesson from Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, and in our gospel lesson. We are not to be consumed with what other people are doing. We are to be consumed with what God is doing. A God who has reconciled the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. A God whose image we get is of a father who seeks out a son who is lost, but now becomes prodigal himself, reckless and extravagant in receiving this son back home, in rejoicing in that reconciliation that has taken place. For in our human point of view, we see the younger son and the elder son differently. In our human point of view, we see ourselves differently. But the good news is that God sees us all in the same boat, and that God's desire is to welcome us and bring us all home. The good news is that that human point of view, that old view has passed and is passing away, and in Christ everything has become new. God does not give up on us and wants each of us to be welcomed back home and invites us into the party. And as the father rushes out to the younger son, we see in this parable the father also pleads with the elder son. Notice how the elder son is choosing to separate himself from the party, is choosing to separate himself from his father. He's not banished. He's always welcome. The father is pleading with the elder son to no longer look at what has happened from a human point of view, but to see it through the eyes of a loving father. So as we carry out the ministry of reconciliation, may we no longer focus on what other people are doing, but approach everyone in the world with what God is doing. A God who is reconciling the world to himself, who is making all things new, and whose love always has room for another at the party. Always has room for the feast that is without end. Thanks be to God. Amen.